The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and I am your host, your favorite host in the entire world. And Mizzou football wins a big game there, and we are now live on the air here on 1280 AM KYRO. It's the blowtorch of the Midwest. That's what it is. You can also find us every single week on westplexnewstalk.com, which is where you're listening to this now, as well as theqnow.com. And unbelievable. Love it. Love it. Love it. Mizzou wins the football game, and that is going absolutely well. Great show lined up for you today. In just a short few minutes, and I say a short few minutes, we are going to have one Travis Cook live on the show with us. In fact, you know what? Here, let us not waste any time. Let's see if we can get a hold of one Mr. Travis Cook. And I mean one Mr. Travis Cook immediately. And you're gonna love this immediately. Hold on. Let's see. We're gonna bring this phone up here. We're gonna call this number here real quick. Stay on the line with me. Cause this is what we do live on the radio.
We're sorry. All circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again?
All circuits are busy. We can't even get a hold of him. We can't get a hold of this guy at all. Now my phone is just randomly dialing people however it wants to. This is just so odd. This is really odd. This is, Anyway, Mizzou had a big win today. Congratulations to those guys, as well as we have a lot to talk about. I really wanted Travis Cook on the air with me, and I can probably get him to call in right now. It's just one of those situations where I'm kind of flustered because I'm switching a bunch of things over here at the station to get my show on the air. And I was not able to facilitate the Travis Cook as soon as I wanted to. And so now I am trying to get him to pop in here on the line with us. Anyway, great show. Fantastic show. Today we have a great show. We actually do have a great show for you guys. We have, like I said, we're going to have Travis Cook on here shortly. We were supposed to have Fred Slow to talk about a charity event that he's got coming up, but we were unable to facilitate Fred coming on. So hopefully him and the charity event are going to do well without our promotions today. But regardless of that, we are going to be having on Larry Kirshner. That's right. Larry Kirshner is the owner and the proprietor of the Darkness Haunted Theme Parks, as well as a few other haunted houses around the United States that he has helped build that have become super successful. His haunted house specifically, it wins a lot of awards. Let's just put it that way. This haunted house just goes out of its way to blanket themselves with amazing awards constantly. And, by having all those awards, he is one of the preeminent individuals in the Halloween entertainment industry, and I am so happy to have him on today to talk with me. Uh-oh, I think we have ourselves one Travis Cook on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, is this Travis? Hello, Travis? Are you there? You there, Travis?
Yes.
Oh, Travis Cook, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome onto the line Travis Cook.
Hey, the pleasure is all yours, Mark.
The pleasure is all mine, sir. Of course it is. It's always all mine, right?
Absolutely. Anytime I call into your show, you are the happiest radio host in America.
Not really. Not really. It's just another person calling into my show. I got thousands of them that do it every day. You know,
I'm the best of all of them.
You know how you wrestle in front of 30 people over in Illinois?
It's a lot more than that.
I have that many people send me hate mail per day.
Well, I have no doubt that you have that many people sending hate mail to you. I'll give you that.
That's right. That means there's another 3,000 over the top of them to 6,000 that aren't sending me anything. They're just listening to the show. That's a lot of people.
They're not, They hate you, but they don't take the time to write you a letter to tell you that they hate you.
Fair enough. Travis Cook, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. What has the T Cook been up to?
Oh, boy. I have been busy, I tell you. I think some of your listeners know that, as you mentioned, I'm involved in the wrestling business. And
you are.
There's been a lot of controversy I've been involved in there for the last 7 or 8 weeks. There's been an issue of a suspension I had to deal with, an issue of being suspended from a promotion. And
what exactly? Why?
Thrown out of a building. So.
Why were you suspended from a wrestling organization?
Well,
how could you? Like, and the idea that a wrestling organization in itself is the idea of people beating on each other, which is considered by most people the most heinous act next to murder. Like, it goes, you know, the levels of talk some trash, maybe a push and a shove, eventually a fist fight. Then eventually you're using the pipe with the candlestick and Dr. Plum or whatever his name in the den. And then eventually it's murder. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're already in the closest that you can be to getting away with beating the living whatever out of people without it being an issue.
Well, you know, you're right. The line that you would think would need to be crossed for a suspension and a wrestling promotion would be pretty far out there. And I was surprised, too, when I got suspended, that really the situation was something that I thought was a little bit ordinary. I was managing one of my wrestlers, Ken Costa. He was wrestling Ricky Cruz in a championship match. Ricky Cruz committed an illegal act to win the match. He hit Costa with a low blow, and Cruz didn't get suspended for that, incidentally. And I took issue with that. I went in the ring and confronted the referee after the match. Things got a little bit heated, and I will freely admit there's videotape out there that shows it. I did hit the referee. I hit the referee several times, and the promotion did not enjoy that, and they decided to suspend me as a result. Now, that being said, over the last few weeks in the National Football League, before the real referees got back, you probably had a lot of fans in the country who would have gladly paid a fine of anybody who would have hit one of those guys. So, really, I don't see that I did anything wrong.
So, technically, you're just in the right. That's all there is to it. As usual, you just feel that you're in the right.
I was in the right, but I was suspended for a period of 30 days. But I am coming back. The suspension is up as of October 1st. And so I will be appearing at the October 20th show out in East Carondelet. And let's just say I have something up my sleeve. I'll just put it that way.
You have nothing up your sleeve. The only thing you have up your sleeve is bad opinions about our politics in the United States of America. And you can't beat people over the head with those because we've already heard it from all you whack jobs out there. But let's talk a little bit about some politics.
All righty then.
You think you got anything you want to talk about? Because I invited you to come on the show. We hadn't heard from you in a while, and I figured, well, shoot, let's bring him on. We'll give him a few minutes to talk some politics with us because, and of course, we're planning on bringing you back in over the next few weeks, at least a couple of times, because we're ramping up to the first week of November, are we not, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I really think that right now this period of a couple of weeks is kind of the calm before the storm. I mean, you get this feeling from people that everything's sort of in a bit of a holding pattern right now in the political race and the presidential race. But you wait here in about 2 or 3 weeks, especially once the debates start up, now everything's going to hit the fan again. And this thing's
going to
hit the stretch run.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know this or they might not remember this, but back in the late 70s, early 80s, when the 1980 election was happening for Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter was actually up 20 points in the poll going into the last month of the election that year. He was actually going to win, even though there were unrest in the Middle East. Weird, similar to now. Although there was high gas prices, similar to now. Although there was a Democratic president himself in position that a lot of people were talking about as the worst president of all time, similar to now. A lot of things were similar to now, and what happened was he was walking in to the election of 1980 as the 20-point front runner, and because of the two debates prior to election night, Ronald Reagan was able to actually flip that entire game over and win the election off of those two debates.
Yeah,
very impressive.
I think what you've shown there illustrates 2 points.
What's that?
First of all, that number one, everything in a presidential election, or the vast majority of it, gets decided in the last few weeks. Certainly the debates are a huge part.
It's like every sport. It's always the last lap of NASCAR. It's always the last 30 seconds of a baseball game or a basketball game.
The last 2 minutes of an NBA game, which takes an hour. But
right.
It's that kind of thing. The second thing it illustrates, at least to me, is that this is why I don't place a lot of faith in polling, especially this far out. I think we all know that pollsters on both sides have them. can construct a poll or construct questions to sort of get the result they want and then, you know, write a news story based on it. So, yeah, there's a lot of polls right out there right now that are really touting touting Barack Obama, saying, oh, he's up by double digits in some states and here and there and everywhere. And might be true, might not be. But the bottom line is we won't really know until that day. And it seems like the last few elections, both congressional elections and presidential elections that I've seen, I keep hearing on the different election coverages in the networks, I keep hearing him say, wow, I'm seeing these results come in and it doesn't really back up the polling we had. Well, gee, maybe your polling is what's wrong. You know, did you ever think about that? So I always take polls with a grain of salt, and I think to a degree you do too. They're kind of an interesting talking point, but to think that they're a true indicator of what's going to happen, I think that's going a little far.
Well, no more or less than Ohio, as goes Ohio, so goes the presidency is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they base it off the fact that no president's won without Ohio. Now, until one president wins without Ohio, then all of a sudden we're down in the poll game again.
Oh, well, you could have said the same thing about Missouri. They always called it a bellwether state, and then the last election was the one time that it didn't happen, and no one said that anymore. Now, the thing with Ohio that works a little bit more to their favor in that is they do have such a high number of electoral votes, so therefore it's far more likely that their candidate is going to win most of the time, because they do have proportionally a much larger effect on any presidential race than a lot of states do. So, you know, it's not really surprising to see that their candidate wins so often. The mathematics just sort of back it up. But you're right, the first time it doesn't happen, everybody will shut up about it and start talking about some other state.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I stand on this whole situation. Now, with all that being stated, let's talk a little bit about the current status of both Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. And obviously, me being a moderate liberal, I tend to be a little bit more open-minded on both sides of that. You being definitely a teetotal conservative. I don't even know if teetotal is the actual best word there. But
actually, teetotal conservative, I like that. I kind of like that phrase. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, but a teetotal person is a person who doesn't support something. You know, there's a misconnotation. If you go look up teetotal, a lot of people misuse those words, because if you say someone's a teetotal alcoholic, that doesn't make sense, because that would mean that they're not an alcoholic. They actually don't drink. A teetotaler is someone who is straight edge. They don't drink at all.
So to call you
a teetotal conservative, I probably misspoke there.
Yeah, you might. I
feel a little unladylike in my manner, my mannerism there. So I want to bring my ladylikeness back with a more legitimate style statement, with a legitimate feel to it.
You can bring your ladylikeness back after the show by drinking some tea and holding out your pinky. I'm sure you'll be doing that.
Oh, well, that'll happen. That'll happen. PPTP. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Mitt Romney and our friend Barack Obama. Currently, I would say that Obama's ahead in the polls, but primarily because he's being quiet. He's staying quiet. Yeah. He's staying to himself. He's not attacking anyone, which I think is one of the things the conservatives hate the absolute most about Obama. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So, and the ones that he does make are not big enough to where you can't look at them from multiple views and go, okay, we can't just turn everything from a molehill into a mountain, you know? And I think that really gets under the gird of the conservative party. Whereas you have Mitt, who's literally going over to England and telling the Queen that her country sucks at throwing the Olympics. You have him going around on different shows, talking about a little bit about this and a little bit about that. Like, this guy is a walking problem for himself. Now, that's not where the crux of the issue is for me. I want to hear your opinion. Paul Ryan, although I think Paul Ryan is not a bad person, he's not as bad in my book as Sarah Palin. He's kind of, I know you do. And actually,
like,
I'm going to defend Sarah Palin here.
This is great. I am
recording this for the posterity as we speak. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to defend Sarah Palin to an extent, whereas Sarah Palin literally walked in to the election with John McCain, and Barack Obama was way up in the polls. He was like 30% up in the polls at the time that Sarah Palin entered that race. She actually cut into that almost 20%. She brought that back 20 points. Like, she actually had brought that much fire and wherewithal, even though she was an idiot. she brought that much fire and wherewithal to the campaign that made people actually kind of really take notice.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, on the other hand, I think he's a smarter politician than Sarah Palin ever was. But he hasn't brought that excitement back to the campaign, and I think that that's become a hindrance for Mitt Romney to an extent. Not saying that he needs to get rid of Paul Ryan. No, I mean, you're running to be a politician, and he's a good politician.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that as far as, like, what he brings to the table right now currently for the campaign aspect, I don't think it's working out to their benefit as much as the Sarah Palin did for McCain.
Well, I would say that the advantage that Paul Ryan brings kind of comes in spurts, if you will. I would disagree with your assessment of Palin as an idiot, but I would agree that she did bring a lot of fire and vigor to a campaign that desperately needed it in terms of John McCain. And yes, it was very consistent from the time she stepped in until the time it ended. She really made it a more of a competitive campaign than it really would have been otherwise, I think. Paul Ryan's appeal is more on the basis of some very particular topics, namely the budget and that sort of thing. You'll notice when he was first announced as a VP nominee, it did cause quite an uptick in attention for Romney, and people that previously had been like, I don't know, are saying, okay, yeah, now I'm with it. But that did kind of level off just a little bit. But I would say this, I think it's going to come back again, and I'll tell you when. There's going to be at some point a debate between Paul Ryan and Joe Biden. Now, regardless of whichever one of those guys you like, and obviously I like Ryan, but regardless of whichever one of those guys you like, you know that debate, when it's broadcast on television, is going to be one of those things that you're going to want to get some popcorn and a six-pack of beer and sit back and watch.
For Biden alone. Wait. For Biden alone. For exactly. Biden alone, you want the popcorn. Just him by himself.
Exactly. I mean, you that's the entertainment factor right there. And Ryan is I think, probably going to take him apart. But that has the ability to be one of the great debates ever. People are going to watch it, probably more so than most vice presidential debates. And when that happens, I think Ryan can really score some points and really re-energize that side of the campaign and remind people that, wait, we've got a really good vice presidential candidate here. And for all of the things you can say about Mitt Romney, and you know I've never been 100% sold on him, though I certainly like him better than Barack Obama, I think Paul Ryan, at that point, especially if it's late in the campaign and it's getting pretty close to the election itself, I think that could potentially be what puts it over the top. Ryan has, in my mind, the substance and the background that Romney doesn't always have. And I really do think that once people get focused on that at the very end, I think it'll be a big help.
I think that I disagree, not because I think you're wrong. I don't think he's going to win. I think you're making great points. I just don't think he's going to win, because I think that the problem that a lot of people that are undecided have with Mitt Romney is he just looks too rich. And they've really beaten that into their heads. And then every time they ask him questions about his money and his background with his money and things that have to do with money, he always skirts the issue, which always, you know how it is. If you came up to me directly and you were like, and Travis, you said, hey, Mark, I've been hearing through the grapevine that you don't like me as a person. So is there any truth to that? And I go, hey, Travis, hey, man, I'm real busy. I'll talk to you in a little bit. And I don't answer your question. You know what I'm saying? I don't not answer your question, but I don't answer your question. And then you come up to me again and I go, Travis, we live in this world and it is what it is, man. And then I walk away and I still don't answer your question. You eventually start to get the idea that maybe everybody was right. Maybe he doesn't like me because he's just not answering the simple yes, no question, you know? And so I think that a lot of people who are undecided currently have that opinion of Mitt Romney, and I've talked to a few of I've talked to people who are undecided, and they've all said the same thing. They're not real super supportive and happy with Barack Obama as a person, but they're not unhappy with Barack Obama. Yet they're not really finding a reason to jump on the Mitt Romney bandwagon, and they feel he's a little rich. So, but
well, I would say this in response. And yeah, kind of a theory I have. And
real quickly.
Okay, well, maybe we want to hold this back for the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. My name, of course, Mark Bland, and we were having some technical difficulties there, if you noticed, but we are back, and I actually have Travis Cook back on the line with me, Travis.
It's amazing how my segments on your show always end up with a technical difficulty.
No, it's your mentality about liberals that is a technical difficulty. Everything else is just fine. Everything else is just fine. So, we were talking about Paul Ryan. We were talking about his impact on the case and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. Now, let's jump to Todd Akin. Let's jump over to Todd Akin now for a little bit. I want to talk to everybody about this. Now, for all you national listeners out there, you people in New York and L.A. and everywhere else that listen outside of the Midwest, Todd Akin is a state senator, he's running to be state senator from the St. Louis area in Missouri. And he's the one who went on live local TV in St. Louis and basically made the case for legitimate rape versus non-legitimate rape, which caught him some serious hellfire from not only local politicians and regional politicians, but Mitt Romney himself asked him to step down in his political race. Akin, against better judgment, in my personal opinion, decided to stick in there with his political campaign and has since sort of, to an extent, regained a foothold back into his race against everybody's thoughts. I mean, originally everybody was like, not a majority of the liberals and the moderates thought, okay, this dude, he is just asking for trouble. He's asking for trouble, and this is not going to go well for him. It's not going to go well. But much to our dismay, not even to our dismay, just much to our surprise, he was actually able to regain a foothold to an extent. And I remember, Travis, you being on my show a few weeks ago when this all went down originally, and you said that you weren't against him. You were interested to see where it was going to fall out, and you thought that he should stick in there. And yeah, he did stick in there.
Yeah, and I actually was one of the few people, if I can toot my own horn, toot.
That's all
I
you do.
I was one of the few people who thought he could get this thing back on the track and pull it out, as it were. Reason I said that was because the rural part of the state is going to have a huge part of the say in this race. And I believe in that rural part of the state, the word Obama is practically a four-letter word. If you can link the capital to Obama, you can win with almost any candidate. And the other part of this is that Akin, for his notable and horrific flub in that rape line, when you get past that, pretty much everything else he's said and done throughout his whole career has been rock-rib conservatism. So, you know, you look at this one gratuitous gaffe, but then you see the entire picture, and if you're conservative, you say, you know what, he's still a pretty good guy. He's probably not going to be making a lot of decisions in terms of rape or whatever, so you know what, he's still better than McCaskill. Now, I will give McCaskill credit for this much from a political perspective, not from a governing perspective, but from a political strategy perspective. She has taken the line during her advertisements and so forth during this time of really trying to make herself appear to be a moderate. And if you look at Missouri state politics long term, those are the kind of Democrats that win in this state, those who can position themselves as moderate. The thing that she has to do to win this race is to erase the stink of Obama, as it were, to make people forget about how big she was with Obama and how she was out there on all the talk shows right after she got elected saying what a great president he was going to be, and kind of disassociate herself to a degree from him.
Why would she need to do that?
A rather effective job of that.
Why would she need to do that, though? I don't understand. Like, you know, I think it's really funny when people talk about political strategy, okay?
Yeah.
And they'll sit there and they'll say things. I think it's time for the liberal and the noted Democrat to go out of their way to make sure that they state that they are no longer a liberal and a noted Democrat, or vice versa. They're not a Republican or a conservative. I don't understand that. That's what they are. A person who is a liberal and a Democrat is going to support Barack Obama in his election the first time around in 2008, and they will support them in his election in 2012. Like, that's what they do. I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal. I support Barack Obama. I even did one of these things online today. A friend of mine emailed me this thing. Are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? It's called isidewith.com.
Mm-hmm.
Isidewith.com is the website you go to, and you answer about, 20 to 30 questions about your beliefs on whatever. And then it comes back, and it tells you, based off of percentage-wise, which candidates and which order that you actually support. 88% of mine came back Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Second for me was Gary Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it goes down through all the list. I was only 25% in agreement with conservatives. Now, think about this. Think about this. Yeah. I tell everybody that I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put me, like, say you have a 100%, like you have a right-left meter, right?
Yeah.
So down in the center would be moderate. And if you were to take the moderate slide and move it left 25%, you would literally be 75% to the left and 25% of the right left over.
Okay.
And that's basically what I tell people. I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal. I'm in that 60 to 75% base on the liberal side, with the other 25 of my 100% is conservative based in certain policies and ideas. So I love this thing called isidewith.com. You should go check it out. You should do it yourself, Travis. I wish you were here live on the show. We'd do it together.
Yeah.
And I'd love to find out exactly where you stand, because you're probably a Mitt Romney guy all day long. You just tell everybody you love everyone else. That's
well,
all there is to
it. I would actually be very interested in taking that. Actually, we ought to do that live on your show at some point. But I've taken other kind of surveys and so forth that are similar to that before, and mine almost always come out about as far right as you can get. I've seen people get very surprised when they see where I come out on those things in terms of how far to the right I go.
But that's my point. My point is that even with these simple things, I say I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal. It kind of comes back and says, yeah, you are. You are a moderate who tends to lean liberal. So you know yourself. A person who is actually a senator or a congressman or the president or a vice president of this United States, they probably understand who they are very well politically. They really do. So if they vote for and they like to support a specific candidate, it probably falls in line with exactly who they are. So it doesn't surprise me that a Claire McCaskill supported Barack Obama because she's a Democrat. That's what they do. The job is not to go and say one thing and do another. The job is to be who you are all the way through and through. See, that's the problem you guys have with Mitt Romney. He's not the guy you think he is through and through. So, as my friend Matt stated, and as you have stated live on this show, you guys are going to make lemonade out of lemons. And then once you get the lemonade made and into office, you're going to try to add cherry flavoring and whatever flavoring it is to make it do what you want it to do. Do you see my point? Like, That's you guys not accepting who you are as people, voting the way you want to vote and who you should vote for, just trying to force an issue just because you're just unhappy. You're butthurt.
Well,
and I get it. You're butthurt. You guys are butthurt.
The point of politics is to get your point across and to get your point enforced, whether you're conservative, liberal, whatever you are.
Well, it's a general point. It's to get a general point across. Say that.
Yeah,
it's a general point. It's not a personal point.
The point of politics is to get your agenda enforced, whoever you are, and whatever it takes to do that.
I've got an interesting
idea.
I
would say the Democrats do that as much as we do.
Let me ask you a simple question. And I really want to hear your opinion on this. I got into a conversation with somebody the other day, and you are the perfect person to answer this question, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right.
I love hearing that I'm the perfect person.
No, you are the perfect person to answer this question because you're psychotic enough to actually be honest. You're psychotic enough just to be honest, okay? Here's the deal.
I love that line. I'm psychotic enough to be honest.
Okay, so here's the thing. In Parliament and in other types of form of democratic-style governments across the world, the way it works, like in especially in Europe and England, is people vote on a specific party, Labour Party or whatever. And then whatever party gets in, that's the majority until the next election. There is no split on the majorities. Once the Labour Party gets in, the Labour Party has no obstacles as far as party rules go. Now, they try to work across the aisle with the other parties, specifically for the fact that they are trying to do the best for the entire country. But the main power and the majority rule comes down to the specific party. So that party's in for 4 or 6 years. I don't remember what it is in Parliament. So they're in for that long. And then there's really no obstacles for them. If they want to overrun the ideas of the other parties, they have that option to do that and enforce their ideals and try to do their thing that they were voted in for without any obstacles.
Yeah.
And then what happens is after that four to six years, if the people are really unhappy with that party that they voted in 4 years earlier, like the things just didn't work out. They tried things because they had no obstacles or anyone stopping them. Those things really didn't work out and they're in a worse place than they were before. Then another election comes around for the next time around. And then those people enforce, and usually it's an entire country enforce. It's not just, oh, I happen to be a Democrat. I happen to be a Republican. I'm going to vote down a party line specifically.
Mm-hmm.
No. If crap goes badly for the country in general, the whole country says we want those people out and we want another party in.
In fact, I think in some of those countries you're talking about, there's even triggers that can happen to where the people can force kind of an election that's not even around a particular time.
If it's a
I think has something like that.
Yeah, right. If it's such an egregious situation. Now, our problem that we have here in the United States is that we don't have a system like that. We have a president who gets in, and he's of one party. And Congress and Senate are of another set of majority rules. And you could come in as, like Barack Obama did, as the president, democratically, and you could have a democratically controlled Congress. But you only have that for 2 years. And then all of a sudden it gets flipped to a Republican-controlled Congress, which is what happened with Barack Obama. And now you have a Democratic president, and you have a Republican House and Senate. Technically. Mm-hmm. And now there's that headbutting for the next 2 years. There's no full 4 years for one party to actually infiltrate, do what they need to do, and attempt to work things out. I think that it would be smart if we actually killed off the caveat that said if the president of the United States gets elected in, his party is the majority rule, regardless of what people think. And then they have their 4 years, and at the end of that 4 years, if things are going badly, yeah, by all means, get that Mitt Romney guy in there. And then when he gets in, his Republican people, they're the majority rule. And you got to deal with it for the next 4 years. You see what I'm saying?
I disagree with that to a degree. And here's why.
Why do you like that, that headbutting? Why? Because nothing ever gets done. Because if Mitt Romney.
If Mitt Romney. Right there.
But if Mitt Romney gets elected, you understand what's going to happen, right? The Tea Party has screwed up so much since 2010 of being in Congress. And people
we
are no, no.
How have we screwed up?
People are so unhappy with the way that nothing's getting done by them. They basically elected a bunch of people to get big fat paychecks that are doing absolutely nothing. That what will happen is if Mitt Romney gets voted as president of the United States, it's just going to be the complete flip flop. It's going to go back to a Democratic Congress. You know that, right?
Here's the thing. When you say nothing's getting done, I look at that a different way. That means the wrong things aren't getting done.
Right, but here's also...
We're preventing the wrong things from getting done.
Here's your other kicker. But here's your other kicker. Wait, hold on. I'm going to let you talk. I swear to God, I'm going to let you talk for quite a few minutes, okay? But here's the other kicker to that. And I'm just answering your statement that you just made.
Yeah.
The other kicker to that is that once Mitt Romney gets in, he only has 2 years with his Republican Congress and his Republican Senate. And if in that 2 years he doesn't get his bills passed and his ideas... put in front of the right people and done fast enough, then it gets switched over in 2014 to a Democratic Congress and a Democratic Senate, and therefore nothing gets done on his end because then the Democrats fight just as hard to create obstacles like they have for Barack Obama. The Democrats will do the same to Mitt Romney. So now we're once again with 2 more years of nothing really getting done. I don't see that as a benefit to anyone, no matter who the president is or who's in power. Do you see my point?
I do see that.
There's no two.
First of all, I wouldn't take it as a state factor that Romney would only have 2 years. I mean, it'll be up to the voters, and whatever happens, happens. But let's say, for discussion's sake, that does happen.
Okay.
And let's say we continue to have headbutting and impasse, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
And very little, quote unquote, getting done.
Okay.
I don't look at that as a negative thing, and here's why. I look at any version of government, whether we're talking about Congress or the presidency or whatever you want to call it. I look at government, I want them to do something similar to what you see a referee do in a sporting event. In other words, I want a referee in a sporting event to make only the calls he has to make. I don't want him to make the ticky-tack calls. I don't want him to over-officiate it. And largely, I want them to stay out of the way and let the game be played. Whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses, loses. So I'm always weary when I hear people talking about, well, the government just isn't getting enough done. Largely, I don't want the government to get things done. I want the government only to get done the very obvious and most important things and otherwise stay the heck out of it. So this impasse that you're talking about and this constant state of headbutting and flux and so on and so forth is, to me, a preventative measure to help make sure that the government doesn't do too much. I mean, my whole political philosophy is based on limiting government power, and I think that this type of you know, different branches of government and different political parties and so forth, that actually helps government not do any more than they already are. I still think they do too much.
Do you think you would be happier living in England with a parliamentary style government?
I haven't really researched their government enough to know. I mean, I'm sure in any sort of government structure, other than a dictatorship, you have ways you can get things done. But I kind of like our system, I got to say. I mean, for all the headaches it causes, for all the maddening that people get about it, I think it's contentious enough to most of the time prevent government from doing too much. Now, there have been cases in history where that didn't occur, you know, the 1960s, the 1930s and 40s, but by and large, that impasse and all that constant headbutting really prevents the government from effectively over-officiating, to use a sports term. I mean, you used to play sports, you know, basketball and so forth. Didn't you just hate it when you had a refereeing crew that would just call every little ticky-tack foul and call and stuff that didn't have any impact on the game? Or would you rather have had an officiating crew that let you play and would let some physical play go on and just would only call the most obvious stuff? Which type of crew would you rather play a game with?
Fair enough. Good question. It's a very good question. I think that's one of those questions I'd love to hear everybody's opinion on. You guys can hit me up on @MarkBland. If you could go to theqnow.com, go to the contact page. You answer that question for me, too. I'd have to think about that a little bit, Travis. I'll have to give you your answer off the air because yeah. I really don't have an answer right now right off the top of my head for that one. I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I might be in agreement with you. It just depends on how I formulate that out. So, basically, here's what I want to do. I want to let everybody know about America's Evil Genius on YouTube. Where can they find you at, Travis?
YouTube.com/America's Evil Genius. You'll see all of my political musings and a lot of professional wrestling stuff, too. You can also follow me on Twitter @RealTravisCook.
All right. And I want to say thank you to Travis Cook for being on the show today. I think it's really awesome, and we're going to have to get you in here live on the microphone to take the I'm with.com or whatever it is. I side with.com. We're going to have to get you on the show here live so that we can do that.
That sounds like a blast. I'd love to come in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. We'll be back on the queue in just a few minutes. Travis, thank you so much, bud.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Anyway, you will never understand it, cause it happens too fast, and it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cold, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet, but it makes
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby,
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the cue here on 1280 AM KYRO, the Blowtorch of the Midwest, WestplexNewsTalk.com. We were having some technical difficulties earlier there, and actually I think there might have been some bleed over of my my interview live with Travis Cook, just due to some buttons that were depressed in the wrong spots and places like that. I do apologize for anyone out there, but Missouri wins the football game, and that was really awesome for them. And now we are live here on The Q. TheQNow.com is my website. You need to check out every single week. TheQNow.com. If you want to call into the show, 636-356-9266. Just taped a couple of segments with our friend Travis Cook. He wasn't able to be on the show live, but that's okay. We're going to do an hour here live on the radio for you people out there, all you lovely individuals. And then from there, we're going to move on with life. So welcome to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland. If you guys want to find out more about the show, theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, you will find out that I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal when it comes to my voting style. I also was just talking with Travis live during our recorded conversation about iSideWith.com. If you've never heard of iSideWith.com, I think you should check out iSideWith.com. Basically, it's one of these internet things where you go there. They'll ask you about 20, 25 questions. You figure out your answers to those questions, and then they'll tell you exactly which political candidate you tend to side with for this upcoming election. I got 88% Barack Obama with a, I think it was like 69% or 70%. No, 68 or 69% with Gary Johnson. So, yeah, there's that. That's actually going on all the time. Just one of those things. That's how we do it. So anyway, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 636-356-9266. I'd love to hear your ideas. Me and Travis, we talked a little bit about, well, just about everything. I mean, we talked a little bit about the fact that the way our government works, how a president gets elected, and then they can have maybe a majority of the Congress for 2 years, potentially four, but usually 2 years, and then it gets flip-flopped, and so then they have 2 years of headbutting with the Congress and the Senate because they're Democrat and the Congress and the Senate's Republican, and then maybe another guy gets elected like a Mitt Romney. Now, he comes in Republican, and then his Congress is Republican, so he's got 2 years, but eventually that gets flip-flopped, and it's going to end up being Democrats versus Republicans. And then you're going to have 2 years of Mitt Romney trying to do things, and it's not working out. And I've come down with the idea that what we need in this country is similar to England and Canada and a few of the other parliamentary process type countries. What they do is they vote on parties. And once the party, that's why they have a prime minister. Once the party gets in, they're in for 4 years. They are the majority. There is no, hey, he's the majority. The prime minister is the Labor Party or a Democrat. And then everybody else is potentially a Republican so he can fight with them. No, no, no. Once a party gets in, they have their 4 years. They will work across the aisle with other parties within the structure of the government. But at the same point, they're not going to allow those parties to overrun them. If somebody decides to get in on them, they will walk all over them and make sure that their agenda, as whatever party got voted in for 4 years, gets done. Now, at the end of that 4 years, if the people that were voted in 4 years earlier just completely suck at what they do and did not do a good job, period, point blank, end of story, well, then we vote them out and we bring another party in, and that party gets its 4 years, and that's how that works. I think that would be a much better process, in my personal opinion. But, you know, I am only one person. I would love to hear your opinions. 636-356-9266. Some of the top stories going on out there in the world. Let's see here. Mitt Romney being a Mormon. Nobody cares about that. Kate Middleton, nude, pics leaked. Those have been all over the place. I'm trying to figure out this thing. This thing with The Onion has really kind of caught my... I like The Onion. I think The Onion is one of those things, as long as you know kind of what the... Basically, an Iranian news agency fell for The Onion story that plagiarizes it, okay? So, here's how the story goes. Readers of Iran's official FARS news agency encountered a surprising headline the other day. Gallup poll, rural whites prefer Ahmadinejad to Obama. Okay? So that was what the... That's what The Onion, which is a satirical news source and a newspaper, that's what they kind of tend to run with. All right. So that happened. And Tehran, which is over there in the Middle East, their news agency, FARS, runs the following story based off of that Onion news headline. According to the results of a Gallup poll released Monday, the overwhelming majority of rural white Americans said that they would rather vote for Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad than President Barack Obama. I like him better, said West Virginia resident Dale Swiderski, who along with 77% of the rural Caucasian voters confirmed that they would much rather go to a baseball game or have a drink with Ahmadinejad and than spend time with Obama. He takes national defense seriously, and he never lets some gay protesters tell him how to run his country like Obama does. According to the same Gallup poll, 60% of rural whites said that they at least respected that Ahmadinejad doesn't try to hide the fact that he's Muslim. Now, that's the story that they ran in Tehran, or however you want to say it, okay? The uncredited source for the item was, shockingly, The Onion, okay? The Onion wrote that story because they're a satirical newspaper that cracks jokes on whatever they want to crack jokes on. To make things worse, FARS item is copied word for word from The Onion's story, so it's both inaccurate and plagiarized. The Tehran dateline is a nice touch, though. There's an entire excellent blog dedicated to the internet users who take Onion stories seriously, but sometimes foreign news services get caught as well. In 2004, the Beijing Evening News credulously reported the Onion item about the U.S. Congress threatening to move out of Washington, and at least they went through the trouble of rewriting it. So yeah, that happened. That definitely happens. That's the kind of stuff we deal with here in the United States, guys. I'm serious. That's the kind of stuff we deal with here in the United States. Isn't that special? I think that is super, uber, duper special. Actually, let me go to this blog here real quick. Let's take a look at this. Literally Unbelievable is the name of the blog. Stories from The Onion as interpreted by Facebook. So basically, and I've seen this 1,000 times, people on Facebook. And call in if you've had this or if you've done this or if you know somebody who has done this and really got into a serious argument with you about a fake news story that everybody knew, everybody else knew was fake, but this person just wouldn't let it go. 636-356-9266. Nick Jr. suspends production on the Almighty Muhammad's porkalicious tune Jihad. and this guy posts, what a shame. Thousands of children disappointed because Nick Jr. won't grow a set. And then... So, yeah, that person said that and posted that. There's all kinds of really good ones here. Media having trouble finding right angle on Obama's double homicide. And then somebody, of course, comes out of nowhere. You know, like they've blanked out the people's faces and taken most of their name away. They just give them like the first initial of their name, D, C, M, whatever. What their name was. And this person, D, says, yeah, whatever happened with this story? As if there was ever a double homicide in regards to our president of the United States. And now this guy's wondering, yeah, what happened with that? What happened with that double homicide Barack Obama committed? You know, we were talking about that a whole bunch, but he got away with it. Why? How dare him? So, yeah, there's that. That actually happened. Oh, yeah. That actually happened. What else we got here on this? Pennsylvania Republican doubts vote he just suppressed have even made a difference. I'm not big on that one, but there's a lot of people that believe in stuff that just isn't real. Ladies and gentlemen, not everything you read is real. I get it. Also, what's making the rounds today is Samuel L. Jackson has gone viral again. Samuel L. Jackson has gone super viral again, and it's actually in regards to a colorful get out the vote message. Now, a few years ago, there was a book that came out called Go the F to Sleep. Now, it's a real book. It is a real book called Go the F to Sleep. And this book tends to be very edgy, and it's written for children, and it has the F word in it. And someone was able to get our friend Samuel L. Jackson to write not only or to write the what do they call that before the book starts, the introduction or whatever, the prologue or whatever it is, to write for that, for that book, but also to read it as a book on tape. That's right. It is an Audible. It's an audio book that you can download for children called Go the F to Sleep. Now, as a play off of that book and that little thing from a few years ago, he has just did one called Wake the F Up. Same. He's written this, and it is in the exact same style that he delivers it as the Go to F to Sleep book. It is hilarious. And, you know, Samuel Jackson is interrupting your movie night, study session, and slumber party, and your grandparents' makeout session with an important electoral message. Wake the F up. In an excellent new clip, the acclaimed actor breaks down the disastrous platform of Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney to show what's at stake this election, while urging people to get off of their duffs and help President Obama re-elect for his campaign. Let's just say Jackson and his adorable sidekick, Little Susie, get their message across loud and clear. It's absolutely hilarious. It's phenomenal. I would recommend everybody go check out Wake the F Up, the President Obama viral video that is going around with Samuel L. Jackson. Hilarious. Hilarious. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do quick right now is we're going to take a break here on The Q. When we come back, more of this delicious show. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to us right here on KYRO. We have just got all kinds of difficulties going on all over the place here. Thanks for listening to The Q, theq9.com. That is where you guys can find me and my show every single week. We're going to be a lot smoother next time, I promise you. What's going on over here? Is there something going on over there? I don't even know. All I can tell you is that, yeah, things are happening. Things are definitely happening. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark Bland, and this is The Q. You are listening to it live here on KYRO. And I'm living the life here. I'm living the life here. And I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit because I got a few stories. Got a few stories that I think would be entertaining for us to take a look into. One of those such stories is the Carmageddon sequel that begins on the LA freeways. Do you remember Carmageddon? It was like a big deal to all the people of Los Angeles. Southern California appears to be heeding the warnings of potential traffic meltdown this weekend that were generally, and they are generally staying clear of the routes around the weekend closure of one of the nation's busiest freeways. A few years ago, the 405 in Los Angeles got shut down, like a 10 to 15 mile section. Well, this year they're working on another 10 to 15 mile section of the 405, and they are shutting it down again. So there we go. That is all the fun that is happening with that right there. So Carmageddon, we don't really have that problem here in the St. Louis area all that often. It seems like most of the time we pretty much have decent traffic. I wouldn't say that St. Louis, for the most part. Now, I know I have fans that listen in all cities, and you guys email me, and every week I appreciate all of your emails. In different different places all over the United States. The reason I said pizza is because I've got a story here that I want to do before the top of the hour, and I think we need to read this bad boy right now. I think this needs to happen right now. 16-year-old pizza delivery boy was arrested for raping a woman in her apartment. That's right. Raping a woman in her apartment. Cesar Lucas made his delivery around 12:30 in the morning and then noticed the another apartment door was slightly ajar. He found the owner sleeping inside and raped her in her bed. Did you hear what I just said? He raped her in her bed. The victim called the police, who later apprehended the suspect in New York's Sal's Pizza in Hell's Kitchen. One major question: why was Lucas still delivering pizzas? The teenager was arrested last month for breaking into another woman's apartment and stealing her wallet while she was on the while he was on the job. It seems like that should have been enough to get him cause for termination. Lucas has been charged with rape and criminal trespass and burglary. So that all happened. Yes. Every bit of what I just said actually happened. So there's that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovely. That's what we deal with here, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're dealing with here in the United States of America currently. We're dealing with that. People breaking into your apartment while you're asleep. And I'm sure the Republicans will find a way to blame that on Barack Obama. Romney's campaign co-chair says that a timid Obama should have gotten bin Laden faster. Okay, that's just stupid. Assuming for a moment that Obama had anything to do with killing bin Laden and that this wasn't all part of an Al-Qaeda plan, as Rush Limbaugh theorized already, because we did hear about our friend Lushy Rushy going out of his way to theorize about Al-Qaeda's plan, he really should have done it sooner. In an interview with the New York Times, former New Hampshire Governor Romney campaign co-chair John Sununu called out Obama for being timid and non-decisive. The president is trying to take credit for following the strategy and the tactics put into place by George W. Bush. At some point, the president is going to have to explain why he was timid on the first two or three opportunities we had. Thank goodness Hillary Clinton was there to convince him to do the right thing. His trying to take credit for having been decisive belies the fact that he wasn't decisive until pressed by others. Yes, it was unlikely team up of George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton that got the job done, as we all know from the past. So now what the criticism will the other side level against Hillary if she runs in 2016? Meanwhile, former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who served under President Bush before Obama, previously called Obama's decision gutsy and difficult. So here's the guy who served under President Bush, legitimately in a position of defense, and he called it a gutsy decision and difficult to make. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. We're dealing with people that are a little out of their minds. A little out of their minds. Let's just be honest. A little out of their minds. So, there's that. And it's almost time for us to get out of here on the queue. We're getting close. We're getting close to time to go away. Time to say bye-bye. Time to say bye-bye. It's been a day of carnal mistakes by myself, as well as some difficult operating procedures that I'm dealing with here. So it hasn't been a smooth show. I do appreciate the honesty from you guys. The Q show this week is an hour and a half long. An hour of it was pre-taped. I was originally assuming that I was going on live at around 2:30-ish when the Mizzou game was over. Evidently, that was not the case. And so, therefore, I've been pushed, and I am now in a position where I have to turn around here in a short few minutes and rock out of here. One thing that I think is very interesting is this New Jersey high school student lunch strike. Yeah, high school students around the country are bellyaching that not enough food is being served during lunch following the institution of new limits on portion size. The Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010 sets new federal guidelines concerning the maximum number of calories per meal and the total amounts of proteins per serving. Paris Panty Hills High School grumbling students are putting their protest where their mouth is, organizing a lunch strike excuse me, over the healthier meals. This year, you're eating lunch and you're like, did I even eat? Student Brandon Ferris told CBS 2, you're not even full. The president of the Pompatonian Food Service, which supplies the school with its meals, says every school district that they work for has expressed similar complaints, and it's a very dramatic shift, and it's being noticed everywhere. Mark Vidovich told The Patch up in New York, or in this part of New York. I think it's New York. They said they're having some problems with some areas in Kansas, too. So, yeah. Kids not getting enough food at school. Is this a problem? Is this an issue? I think that in many cases that if they just wanted more, they could just buy more. I think it's the fat kids. Let's be honest. It's the little chunky fat kids. He's been chunky since he was in sixth grade. He really has. He's a little fatty. He was chunky since he was in sixth grade. And, you know, he's got to eat two packs of ding-dongs as well as a big scoop of corn and three hot dogs. And he's got to really, you know, knock them bad boys down because that's what he eats. That's who he is as a person. Oh, yeah. That's who he is as a person. So, yeah, there's that. That happened. Oh, yeah. That happened for all you people out there. What do you guys think about live car chases on TV? I don't know. Give me a call. 636-356-92. Actually, don't give me a call. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to get out of here on the queue. First off, I want to thank Travis Cook for being live on the queue today. I know we were supposed to have an interview with Larry Kirshner. Unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties. We were not able to pull that one out. So we are going to try to reschedule Larry for a different, stronger day when we have a better handle on what's going on with all the buttons and stuff. Beyond that, I want to say thank you to all the fans out there that listen to the queue every single week. You guys are awesome. I receive hundreds of emails every single week from all of you, and I appreciate the good things you say. I appreciate the criticisms you have. I even enjoy the hate mail that I get where they want me to cut my mom's throat and forever having me and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. I think that that is fantastic. Also, shout out to American Patriot Beer. Thanks to American Patriot Beer for being sponsors of us on the queue. They are good guys, and you should check out their beer, AmericanPatriotBeer.com, taking back America one beer at a time. We have giveaways coming up. Giveaways, you have to go to the Q Now Facebook page. That's facebook.com/THEQNOW, the Q Now. Like the page, you will be entered in for haunted house contests here in the St. Louis area. So if you're listening nationwide, that's probably not going to help you out. We have TNA Wrestling coming to the St. Louis area. So once again, I'm working on some national giveaways too. So ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for that. My name is Min Mark Bland. This has been the Q. We will see you guys next time here on the show.
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.